In the previous discussion pertaining to the number of watches the night contains, the Gemara mentioned a statement by Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, which was related by Rabbi Zriko, who heard it from Rabbama. Since in another case, pertaining to a different law, there was also a statement made by Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and related by Rabbi Zriko, who heard it from Rabbama, the Gemara now discusses Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's second statement, although it is not related to the question of the number of the night's watches. Says the Gemara, Ve'omar Rabbi Zriko, Omar Rabami, Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Another statement was made by Rabbi Zriko, who heard it from Rabami, quoting Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Ein Omrim Bifnei Ames, it is forbidden to discuss any topic in the immediate vicinity of a dead person, Elo Dvorov Shalmes, except matters pertaining to the care, burial, and eulogy of the departed. The reason for this prohibition is because discussion of any other matter is considered disrespectful to the departed. Omer Abba Bar Kahana, Rabbi Abba, the son of Rabbi Kahana, elaborated on this law and said, this prohibition of discussing unrelated matters applies only to topics of Torah, that is, words of Torah not pertaining to the departed may not be discussed. Avol mili daume, but general non-Torah topics, leslambo, do not concern us and may be discussed. Ve'iko de'amre, another version is, Omar Rabbi Bar Kahane, Rabbi Abba, the son of Kahane, said, Lo yamoron ela filo bidivrei Torah. This prohibition against discussing unrelated matters applies even to topics of Torah. Ve'koshkin mila de'alme. We may therefore derive that discussion of general topics is certainly prohibited. The difference between these two versions elaborating on the law is not merely in application, but represents two schools of thought as to the basic reason for the prohibition. One version is based on a verse in Proverbs, while the other is derived from the general Torah attitude of Kovid Hames, honor of the dead. King Solomon states in Proverbs 17, verse 5, Lo yiglo rosh chaveseyu, he who mockingly derides the poor abuses his maker. The Torah therefore prohibits placing a helpless person in a situation where his helplessness is pronounced. Since every Jew is obligated to study Torah and to discuss topics of Torah at all times, a Torah discussion in the presence of the departed emphasizes his inability to partake in this discussion, and such a discussion is therefore considered as a lack of respect for the departed. But general, non-Torah topics, discussion of which is not obligatory upon us, are of no concern to us and may be discussed. The second version bases the prohibition on the general Torah concept of honor of the dead. According to the law, any close relative who by virtue of his relationship is obligated to sit Shiva after the departed is absolved from davening, putting on tefillin, and similar mitzvahs from the moment of death of the relative until after burial. The reason is that the Torah requires that the relative devote all his thoughts to the departed with no distraction whatsoever. The same law applies even to strangers if and when they are occupied with active care for the needs of the departed. According to this principle, any distraction, regardless of its nature, is considered disrespectful to the departed. That is why the second version prohibits all conversation unless it is pertinent to the needs of the departed. The Gemara now returns to its original subject, wherein it was stated that King David used to get up at midnight for meditation and study of the Torah. Questions the Gemara. Ve'David befalgo delelia havakoye. How can we say that David arose only at midnight, me urto havakoi, We see that he studied and prayed from early in the evening. Diksiv, as it is written in the 119th Psalm, verse 147, Kidam Tiba Neshevah, I preceded the Neshev with my beseeching prayer. Umimai Dahai Neshev Kortohu, and how do we know that Neshev refers to the early part of the night? Diksiv, for in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 9, it is stated, Beneshev Be'erev Yom, in the Neshev, which is the evening of the day, Be'ishon Lailo Va'afilo, in the blackness of night and darkness. We thus have an apparent contradiction between two verses in the same chapter, one which states that he rose at midnight to pray, and one which says that he prayed at Neshev, the early part of evening. Omar Rabbi Eisho, Omar Rabache, Rabbi Eisho said in the name of Rabache, Hochikomar. This is the meaning of King David when he stated that he rose at midnight. It never happened that midnight passed while he was sleeping, because he used to rise much earlier. So there is no contradiction between the two verses. Rab Zeira resolved the apparent contradiction between the verses in the following manner. At chatzos lailo hoyo misnamnem kisus, until midnight, although he was awake, he would drowse in a manner similar to that of a horse, who, as we know, has a very light sleep. Mikan ve'elech, but from midnight on, hoy misgabir koari, he girded his strength like a lion, throwing off his sleep completely and concentrating fully on his meditation and study. Rabbi Asher resolved the apparent contradiction in another manner. At chatzos lailo hoyo isig batero, until midnight, King David studied the Torah. Mikan ve'olech be'shirois ve'sishboches. From then on, he recited psalms and praised the Almighty. Although the three Amoraim explain the apparent contradiction with three different answers, they all agree that King David slept very little. He devoted the major portion of the night to study of the Torah and prayer. It is worthwhile noting that according to Rav Ashi, King David divided the night into two parts, devoting the first half to study of the Torah and the other half to prayer and psalms. This arrangement is very significant and points to an important principle expressing a basic Torah viewpoint of prayer and religious songs. Prayer and song, which are expressions of human emotion and ecstasy, may sometimes lead a person astray and thus render his prayer and song meaningless. They serve their desired purpose and lift up a person to great spiritual heights if and when his ecstasy is a result of the great spiritual joy he derived from the study of the Torah. This explains why King David delved into the depths of the Torah for several hours before he uttered a song or prayer. This principle also governs our daily prayers, and every Shmona Esrei is therefore preceded by a portion of the Torah. In the morning and in the evening we say the Shema, and at Mincha we say Ashrei. In the previous discussion, the Gemara mentioned that the word Neshev refers to the early part of the night. Questions the Gemara. Ve'neshev urtohu, how can we say that Neshev refers to the early part of the evening? Ho Neshev tzafrohu, we see that Neshev means morning. Diksiv, for it is written in Samuel 1, chapter 30, verse 17. Vayakim David mehaneshev vado erev lemochosom, and David fought them successfully from the Neshev until the evening of the next day. My love mitzafro vad leilo, does this not mean from the morning until the evening? Thus we see that Neshev refers to morning, not evening. Answers the Gemara, lo, no, Neshev means evening, and the verse means meurto veadurto, from one evening to the next. Questions the Gemara, Ihochi. If so, if Neshef here means evening, which means that the battle lasted from evening to evening, why does the verse use two different words to denote evening, Erev, and Neshef? Lichtov, let it be written, Meha Neshef Yada Neshef, from one Neshef to the next Neshef, meaning evening. O Meho Erev Viad Ho Erev, or from one evening to the next evening. Since both Neshef and evening are used, we see that Neshef does not denote evening. Elo Amar Rava. Therefore, Rava says, we cannot accept the previous answer, and we must say that the word Neshef indicates a transition in time, so that Trei Nishfi Havu. There are two different times denoted by Neshef. Noshaf Leilio V'Osa Yomoma. One, when night passes and dawn breaks. Noshaf Yomoma V'Osa Leilo. And the other, when day passes and night falls. Having resolved the apparent contradiction among the various verses, the Gemara now questions the verse wherein King David stated that he used to rise at midnight. Since every expression of the Tanakh is stated with utmost accuracy and precision, King David's mention of midnight must therefore refer to the exact split second of half the night. The Gemara now questions whether any human being is capable of pinpointing this moment so precisely. Ve'David mavi yoda palga delelio amos. Did King David know the exact moment of midnight? Hashtom Meshe Rabbeinu lahavi yoda. We find that even Moshe Rabbeinu did not know it exactly, diksiv, for it is written in Exodus 11, verse 4, that Pharaoh was warned by Moshe of the forthcoming 10th plague, the plague of the firstborn. Kachatzois halaylo ani yitze besich Mitzrayim. About midnight I will go out in the midst of Egypt. Mike says, what is the meaning of the phrase about midnight? Shall we say that the Holy One, blessed be He, said to Moshe that the plague would take place about midnight? Can there be any doubt in heaven? Therefore we must say that Moshe was told that it would take place at midnight exactly. But when Moshe came to relate his message to Pharaoh, he said, Kachzos, about midnight. Almo misapkole. We thus see that he was in doubt as to the exact moment of midnight. V'David haviyoda. Can David then have known it? Can something which was unknown to Moshe, the father of all prophets, and greatest of all times, have been known to David HaMelech? Answers the Gemara. David simno havale. David had a sign to inform him of the exact moment of midnight. The Omar Rabachaba Bizno Omar Abshimech Sido, as Rabacho, the son of Bizno, said in the name of Rabbi Shimon Chsido. Kinoir hoyutolui lemailo mimitosi shel David. A string instrument was suspended over the bed of David. The kivun shehigiach tzois laila, and when midnight arrived, bor ruach tzfoini tzveino sheves bay, a north wind came and blew upon it, umenagin meilov, causing the instrument to play by itself. Miyad hoyoimit, immediately he used to arise, ve'oisig batoiro ad sho'olam u'dashocha, and studied the Torah until the break of dawn. Kivn sho'olo amud ashocha, after the break of dawn, nichnesu chachmi Yisrael etzlo, the leaders of Israel had an audience with him. Omru lei, they said to him, Adoneinu hamelach, our master the king, amcho Yisrael tzrichim panosa, thy people Israel are in need of livelihood. Om Alohem, David said to them, Lechu v'isparnesu ze mize, let them go out and make a living from one another. Omrulei, the leaders said to King David, Ein hakomitz must be a sauri. A handful cannot satisfy the lion. Vein habor mismali michul yose. And a pit cannot be filled with its own soil. In other words, the sages explained to David HaMelech that Israel could not be self-supporting any more than a handful can satisfy a lion, or the soil removed from a pit can fill its cavity. Om Alohem, whereupon King David said to the sages, Lechu upishtu yideichem bigdud. If such is the case, then there is no alternative but to go and stretch out your hands in battle. Miyad yoatzim b'Achisofel. They immediately sought military advice from Achisofel to plan the war strategy. Benimlochin beis Sanhedrin, and sought the Sanhedrin for permission and prayer for blessing. Veyishualin beurim v'tumim, and requested of the Kohen Gadol to obtain a heavenly sign by way of Urim v'Tumim, where the military venture would succeed. Thus we see that King David had a sign, the string instrument, by which he was able to determine the exact moment of midnight. Analyzing the Gemara preceding the Agada about King David, we observe our prophets and sages' definition of truth. According to the Gemara, Moshe Rabbeinu was told that Makas Bchoros would take place at exactly midnight. Yet, when Moshe related this message to Pharaoh, he stated that it would take place at about midnight. The reason being that since it is humanly impossible to pinpoint the exact moment of midnight, he had no right to make a statement which was beyond his ability to prove. As to the Agada itself, even a superficial glance convinces us of its deep, mysterious nature. However, by examining the Agada, we may find clues by which we may gain some insight into the concealed meaning of our sages. First, one may ask, how is it possible that King David and the Jewish sages, Sanhedrin, and all Jewish leaders should agree to declare war on peaceful neighbors for no other reason but to alleviate their economic plight? Secondly, the Agada seems to describe not a one-time occurrence in the life of David, but rather his usual routine. Is it possible that David and his sages held the identical discussion time after time? Finally, why did the sages, in trying to convince David that Israel could not be self-sustaining, find it necessary to use two arguments by way of example, that a handful cannot satisfy a lion, and that a pit's cavity cannot be filled by its own soil? The answer, in my opinion, is that this Agada refers to a period of great crisis which Israel underwent during David HaMelech's reign. As is recorded in Tanakh, there were three successive years of famine. In addition to this domestic crisis, the countries surrounding Eretz Israel enforced an economic blockade against Israel, allowing no trade to take place between Israel and her neighbors, thus aggravating the economic situation and driving her to a point of complete disintegration. Prior to this crisis, we are told in Tanakh that King David, having decided to erect the Beis Hamikdash, had accumulated vast treasures of gold and silver for this purpose. When famine struck, it first affected the poor. When the sages reported this situation to King David and advised him to spend part of the accumulated treasure set aside for the Beis Hamikdash, his response was that the richer element of the population should support those in need. This solution was adopted, but was effective for a short time only. The sages gave their tale reports to David HaMelech until they realized that it was only a short-term solution. They told King David that a handful cannot satisfy a lion, that what the rich could afford to give was not enough for the needs of the poor. King David ordered heavier taxes to to spur the economy. But even this proved to be of no avail, since there was an overall shortage of commodities and purchasing power rather than a maldistribution of wealth among the people, so that this solution was like trying to fill a pit with its own soil. In suggesting that the accumulated treasures be used, the sages desired to entice the surrounding nations into abandoning the blockade by offering higher, irresistible prices. But King David felt that the gold and silver, having been accumulated for use in the Beis Hamikdash, should not be diverted for other uses, and refused to enter into any negotiations of bribery, feeling that such a step would invite further dangers for the Jewish people. He therefore advised them to break the blockade by military force, and thus regain the natural right of every nation, especially a nation struggling with famine, to participate in legitimate and peaceful trade with its neighbors. We also see from this Haggadah that the decision to go to war was not the prerogative of the king, but permission had to be obtained from the Sanhedrin and the Urim Vitumim. The Gemara now seeks the source for this fact. Omar Rav Yosef said, Meikro, from which verse in Tanakh do we know the procedure a military plan had to undergo before it became final? Answers the Gemara. The verse is found in Chronicles 1, chapter 27, verse 34, wherein it states, Ve'achri Achisoifel Bnoyo Ben-Yoyodo Ve'Vyoso. And after Achitofel was Bnoyohu, the son of Yehoyodo, and Ve'Vyoso. Ve'Sar Tzvol HaMelech Yoav, and the military chief of the king was Yoav. We thus find four names mentioned here: Achitofel, Bnoyohu, Ve'Vyoso, and Yoav. What were their capacities? The Gemara now explains. Achisofel Zeyoitz. Achisofel served as an advisor. V'cheinu Omer, as it is said in Samuel 2, chapter 16, verse 23, V'atzas Achisofel asher yoad bayomim moayim, and the advice of Achisofel, which he advised in those days, Kasayi shal bidvaro elikim, was as if inquired of the word of Hashem. Pnoyo ben Yehoda ze Sanhedrin. Pnoyo, the son of Yehoda, was the Sanhedrin. In other words, he served in the capacity of head of Sanhedrin. Ve'Vyoso el Urim Vitumim. Ve'Vyoso refers to the Urim Vitumim, since Ve'Vyoso was the Kohen Godel. V'chein Hoimer, as he said in Samuel 2, chapter 20, verse 23, Uvnoyo ben Yehoda ala kresi v'ala plesi. And Noyo, the son of Yehoda, was over the Urim Vitumim, known as the Kresi Uplesi, meaning that Noyohu preceded it. Velomani Koshmom Kresi Uplesi. And why were the Urim Vitumim called Kresi Uplesi? Kresi Shekursim as the brave. They were called Kresi, which in Hebrew means to cut, because the answers obtained from the Urim Vitumim were cut short, yet were decisive. Plesi Shemufloim Bedivraim. And they were called plesi, which in Hebrew means clear, because the answers were distinguished and complete, leaving no room for misinterpretation. We thus see that first Achisofel gave advice, then Bnoyohu and the Sanhedrin were consulted, after which Ve'Vyoso, the Kohen Gadol, consulted the Urim Vitumim, ve'achar kach, and then came the final stage, Sar Tzvol HaMelech Yoav, the king's military chief, who was Yoav. Omer Rabbi Yitzchok Barade, Rabbi Yitzchok, the son of Ada, said, V'yamrilo, and others say, Omer Rabbi Yitzchok Bereide Ravidi, it was Rabbi Yitzchok, the son of Ravidi, who said, Maikro, from which verse do we learn that David was awakened by a string instrument? From the 57th Psalm, verse 9, wherein it says, Uro Kwaidi, awake, my glory. Uro ha-nevel v'chineh. Awake, ye string instruments. O iro shochar, I will awake the dawn. What King David implied was, awake, my glory. although the king's honor may require that he sleep late, I forego that glory and consider it an honor to be awakened so that I may spend the night in the study of the Torah. He then turned to the instruments, saying, Awake, ye string instruments, and by your playing I will rise, so that I may wake the dawn instead of the dawn waking me. The Gemara now returns to the question of whether it is possible to pinpoint the moment of midnight exactly. Rab Zeiri Omar, Rab Zeiri said, It is possible for prophets to know the exact moment of midnight, and therefore, Moshe Lo'olam Aviyoda, Moshe certainly knew this moment. V'David Nami Aviyoda, and David also knew it, even without any signs. V'kivin de David Aviyoda, since David knew, Kinner Lomelei, why did he need the string instrument? Layes Ure Mishnosei, in order to wake him from his sleep. V'kivin de Moshe Aviyoda, and since Moshe knew the exact moment of midnight, Lomolei Lememar Kachzos, why did he find it necessary to say about midnight? Moshe Kosovar, Moshe's reason was that Shemo Yitu Itztagnine Pare, the astrologers of Pharaoh, being unable to pinpoint midnight, might make a mistake in the time, V'yemru, Moshe Badoyihu, and would say that Moshe was a liar. But by not saying exactly midnight, Moshe removed the possibility of such a suspicion. The Omar Mar, as we learned, Lameit Lishencho Lemer Eni Yidea, teach thy tongue to say, I do not know. Shemot Isbade Veteoches, lest thou be caught stumbling.